Okay, I'm back. Are you familiar with what we are trying to do here? I know the email had a little bit about what was going on. Do you want me to talk a little bit about that first?
Just a little bit, just to refresh my memory.
Okay. So at the USCOTS conference, you filled out a survey that talked about the use of fun activities in a statistics classroom. We asked in that survey if you would be willing to be contacted for an additional interview to get some more information, a little bit more deeper, richer information about how you use fun activities or how you plan to use fun activities or why you don't use fun activities in the classroom. Okay. And so that's what we're doing here right now. What we want is some background information, and then I just have some questions here. Most of the interviews have been done in about 40 minutes, so it shouldn't take that long to do. But I also want to make sure that you know that we do plan to publish research on this, a paper on this, and you will in no way be identified at all from our writings. As we're talking, I'm going to be jotting down notes, but again, your name is not on this. I have a code. The code and your name relationship is kept in a locked cabinet at home and not anywhere near in my notes. There shouldn't be any anxiety-producing questions here, but if you are free not to answer any questions that you don't want to answer. We did get IRB approval through Buffalo State College. I can send that information if you would like to see that. Did you have any questions on that?
No, that sounds okay.
Okay. All right, so first thing is just some background information about your students in a statistics classroom. The first question before we even get to that is, are you currently teaching statistics, or have you recently taught statistics?
Yes, I'm currently teaching statistics.
Okay. What kind of courses are you teaching?
I'm teaching the general intro to statistics, the one that's equivalent to the AP stat.
Okay. And that's the only one that you're teaching?
Yes.
Okay. Can you give me a general sense of the age distribution of the students in your class?
Most students are between they're the traditional age students, but there are a few, so probably a small percentage, maybe 3% that are of the non-traditional age.
Okay. What are the typical majors of the students that are in your class?
Usually the students are, we have a good portion of business, psychology, sociology, humanities students. We have health and human performance students, a few nursing. We don't have any of the hard sciences or engineering students in this section. They would go to another one.
Okay. Can you give me a general sense of their interest level in that course? Interest in, obviously, statistics.
Right. It, I mean, I would say it's probably a moderate level. Some, when I bring in news stories or something, they're more interested. But there's still some that are probably pretty flat.
Okay.
It's for all of them. It's a required course, so they definitely come in with a chip on their shoulder. I try to chip away at it as much as I can throughout the semester.
Okay. Can you give me a sense of the ability level of the students coming in? The ability level, I imagine, about the mathematics, the statistics concepts, knowing that kind of thing. Are they you know, have they had statistics before in high school a little bit and they're okay, or can you just give me any general sense that you can about their ability level?
This course has a really wide, wide gamut of students. We have students who've never had statistics and really, really weak math abilities, to students who have taken the AP exam and didn't take the test for whatever reason, or may have even taken the AP exam and passed, but they're limited in the number of AP credits that they can transfer, and so they may have even done well and they're still in the class.
Okay.
So there is the whole spectrum is there. Never seen it to actually probably know it very well, but
right.
For whatever reason have chosen to take it again.
Okay. What about the gender distribution in that class?
It's probably somewhere around 60-40, 60% female, 40% male. Maybe even a little higher female. It's definitely a higher female population. They definitely have the majority.
Okay. And then the last question is, can you give me a general sense of the ethnicity, race, or international kind of breakdown of your students?
It's probably, I teach a hybrid course where I don't even see the students a lot of the time, so it's kind of hard to judge that part. But
well, that's okay.
Let me ask
you this. So all the courses that you're teaching are hybrid, so meaning that you're partly in the class and partly online?
Well, the majority of the students that I teach a class that has 1,800 students in it. That class is hybrid. I teach an online class in the summer, and then sometimes in summer I have the students in front of me, so it's a more traditional course. So I teach kind of a whole bunch of varieties of the same course,
okay.
Different formats. I would say it's something like 15% Hispanic, 10% African-American, maybe another 10% international, and something like that.
Okay. And the rest white?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that gives me a general sense of who we're looking at. Then the next thing I want to talk about is some of the categories of fun that you may or may not use in the classroom. These categories we call modalities, so if I use that word, you know, it just mostly means a category. The first category, poems or songs, do you use either of those in the classroom?
No.
Okay. Cartoons would be the next category.
I have used cartoons, yes.
Okay. Can you describe a typical use of a cartoon that you would do? How would you use that in class?
I've used it most of the time, just a kind of a break to kind of a fun interpretation. There's a one about a confidence interval and a GPA that, you know, we might actually talk about the concept related to that. So, but most of the time, it'd be more of a just kind of a break in the, you know,
great.
It's about statistics, but it's it basically kind of bring that attention back. Oh, look at this, and then kind of move forward.
Okay. All right, so let's go, and I'm going to go with more detail with these. I just want to get a general sense of how you would use it. What about games? Do you use games? And the games don't have to necessarily be like a board game or something like that. Do you use any kind of game kind of activity?
I guess I do. I use one as a correlation game applet thing online.
Is that the guess the correlation applet?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, a lot of the participants I've been, so I use it too, have actually mentioned that particular one. So it's obviously a very popular site. All right, so what about jokes or humor? Do you use either of those?
Yeah, that's probably my most common one. Maybe not necessarily good jokes, but my jokes nevertheless.
Now, how would you typically like it? Now, do you use... because to me, they're two different things, but we include them all into a single category. But jokes would be, I guess, like a comedian would have, you know, a setup and then a comment that makes the setup funny, or humor would just be, to me, like off the cuff kind of thing of, you know, you find something funny in something that you've done and mention it. No setup in that. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would say there's a bit of both. I mean, there's some points where I know I can kind of twist it a little bit, and I'll do that fairly regularly. But then there are other things that occur that might, I would say a little bit of both.
Okay. Anything else that, those are the only four categories that we have, but is there anything else that you might think that you use that is a fun activity that doesn't necessarily fit one of those categories?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. The last question then with the categories, do you use them equally in the different courses that you have, the different types of courses, so the hybrid versus the online versus maybe an in-class, would you use them similarly or would one of them be different?
I would say they're different. In the online class, would be less jokes because there would be more writing. But I use cartoons more. I use a lot of the cause cartoons are in there a lot. Whereas in the hybrid course, there's definitely less cartoons, but there's more interaction. So perhaps more humor jokes in that.
Can you explain the reasoning of using less cartoons in the hybrid? I mean, do you have a reason, or you just haven't done enough, or put it, you know? I'm just trying to get a sense of why the less cartoons. I'm not saying it's wrong or bad, but why?
To be honest, I just haven't incorporated it. The online course I was basically creating after USCOTS, and so it was a conscious effort at that point. And then kind of when I started teaching the hybrid again, I just haven't. There's no, once or twice I thought I really need to go back and look at and pull in something, but I just haven't.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you think that the jokes work better in the online versus a hybrid, or the other way around?
When I'm taping the lectures in the hybrid course, I have the students in front of me so I can get a better feedback. So my feeling because of that, I feel they work a little bit better in the hybrid than the online. But I'm still working on kind of getting a better feel from the students in the online. So it could just be that my perception is not where I would like it to be in the online class.
So if I would ask you about the cartoons, that would be, I guess, a similar answer about which is more effective?
Yes.
So let me ask you, for the cartoons, approximately how many times do you use that in a typical semester? Now, you say that you're using that a lot more on the online class, so how many times do you have you incorporated that in the online course?
Maybe in the online course, maybe 10 times.
Okay.
Maybe.
And are they incorporated into the notes part, or do you have your tape lectures that you said that you do in the hybrid? Do you provide those online with the cartoons?
With the hybrid course and the tape lectures, there's only like one when I do that in the hybrid. But in the online course, they're embedded in the lesson. The lesson includes written and graph and video, so the cartoons are embedded in the lesson.
Okay. And where in the lesson do you typically, so for the online course, where typically do you put the cartoons? Are they put in the beginning to set up what you're going to talk about? Are they put at the end to sum up, or are they put in somewhere in the middle, typically?
Typically, the cartoons in the online are embedded somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Usually after, the way that my lessons work is there's a series of objectives. So there might be three objectives, and so the cartoon might be at the end of one objective, but before we move to the next objective. But in the middle of the lecture overall.
Sure. Okay. What about the jokes or humor? About how many times do you use that in the online class? I know you said that there's less of that, but how many times do you think on average have you used that? A week or on average in the semester? For the online.
Maybe two or three times per semester.
Okay. And what about the hybrid?
The hybrid, that's probably twice a week. You know, I would say probably.
Okay. All right, then, so let's talk about, and I know this is going to be hard for the online, so let's start with the hybrid first, is about how much class time is taken up with a typical cartoon.
I would say at most a minute or so. You know, the student looks at it, laugh or doesn't laugh, and moves on. So I wouldn't think it would be very long.
Okay. Do you notice when the student laughs or doesn't laugh, do you notice any difference in the type of students? That is, do you notice any difference in the gender? Do you notice any difference in the race, ethnicity, international students? Do you notice any of those kind of differences, or even notice a difference, say, on the background, the ability level from the students that had no statistics prior or those that have had and successfully completed an AP course? Do you see any kind of differences on how they react to that cartoon?
Well, I'm not going to be able to know for the online class.
Right, right. I'm sorry if I said online. I meant the hybrid. Do you get a sense of it? Is there any differences in the reactions of those students?
In terms of the cartoon, probably the better of the students might get the cartoon better.
Okay.
The ones who are a little bit more vocal are the ones who, in the class to begin with, who feel a little bit more comfortable, are usually the ones who tend to get it more.
Okay. And still staying with the hybrid, what about the jokes? Is there any kind of difference in, well, first, how long do you, you know, would a typical kind of humor activity events that you use, about how long does that take class time?
It's still a very small amount of time, I would say. You know, as I'm going through something, it's less than a minute. It's, you know, it's just a comment or a phrase or something like that.
Right. And do you notice any differences in the reactions of your different students to that joke or humor or phrase?
I don't remember perceiving a big difference. The only thing I could think of might be someone whose English skills aren't quite where they are. But I can't. I can't remember any difference in perception beyond that.
Okay. Now, I know for the online class, it's hard to do all that. Do you do any kind of writing, like a blog, reaction to a lesson in which students might talk about a cartoon or a joke that was used?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you find either the jokes or the cartoons to be more effective than the other?
Not really. I think there's still just kind of a... all I can think of is a break.
Right.
We're talking seriously, thinking about different concepts, and then, oh, this is a little bit lighter. Oh, look, that's funny. Okay, let's concentrate again. Just kind of that trying to re-grab their attention. I think they both kind of work in the same way.
Okay. Do the students enjoy having those breaks? Those little, do you get a sense of that? Do they enjoy it?
Yes, I think so.
And you can tell that by the reaction, by comments, by...
I would say pretty much by their reaction, by their kind of renewed sense of attention, by the fact that they, you know, they... they just kind of brighten up a little bit. I wouldn't say I've ever had a student comment on it.
Okay.
Specifically.
Okay. Now, you suggested that you don't use poems or songs. Why haven't you tried poems or songs?
I just don't feel particularly comfortable in that format. And the poems that I've seen, I'm not all that crazy about, I guess. So I guess it's a comfort level. I'm just not comfortable at that level, I guess.
Sure. No. Sure. So would there be anything that could assist you in changing that comfort level? Or is there another way that you could actually incorporate a poem or song in the course with not really changing your comfort level?
It's perhaps possible, if there was something on the CauseWeb or something that I particularly liked that I could, play or show, that I might consider it.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I looked at, I wasn't awfully comfortable with. Not wasn't comfortable, that I didn't like well enough to use, I guess. I just felt they were a little silly.
So silly as in silly as in like a lower level for what could be used in like a middle school or high school as opposed to more academic for a college, that kind of silly or another kind of silly?
Let me think. What do I really mean? Right. In terms of the songs, I guess I'm not willing to loosen up enough to do that, maybe. It just feels wrong for my personality. It just doesn't seem to, like the one I'm thinking of is the video where I think their college students are dancing around and she's wearing a wig. And I'm not sure I would want to spend class time watching that. I'm not sure of the benefit. It's longer. I'm not sure the students would get it. I just wasn't.
I know that you're struggling with that, and let me just alleviate any kind of anxiety you might have. This is exactly what others have said too, that that song and the poems doesn't fit their philosophy of teaching or their personality, or they've said a variety of things, but it didn't fit them personally to be able. Not necessarily to sing it in class, which most people said no way that they're not going to do that, but even to provide a song because it doesn't fit on how they hold a classroom. They use these other things, jokes, humor, cartoons, and all that, because that does fit what they do in the classroom. That does fit their educational philosophy, say, but the songs typically haven't for most of my people who I've been interviewing. So you're saying the same things that others have said. So that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Do you ask your students to look at any kind of fun activity outside the classroom?
Well, in the online class, it would be outside the traditional mortar and block classroom. And the hybrid course, beyond the lecture where we're kind of experiencing it together, I don't.
That's really all the questions that I had. I just got one last thing. I'm just briefly, quickly looking through these. So, like I said, I wasn't going to take that long to do these questions. Can you maybe provide any additional information that I haven't asked that you think would be important for me to know about whether what you use as fun activities or what prevents you from using fun activities? Any kind of hesitations or motivations first or hesitations second? Anything else that you can think of?
I can't really think of anything.
Okay. I'm not sure if you're still thinking or if that's your answer. That's fine if that is.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Okay. Well, that's all the questions I have then. I just want to let you know I appreciate your time this morning to answer these questions. I think it's going to be really helpful for us to really get into more specifics about why people use, how people use, and fun activities and why they don't use it. And I think that will help the stat ed community and the CLAWS website, I think, that whole section. So I think what you've given us and what our other interviewees have given us is really helpful. So thank you very much for your time and your openness to answer these questions. And I will put your name into the list, and there's a list of interviewees, and we're going to select one person from that list to receive a $25 gift card. So I'll put your name in for that, and I can't think of anything else that I need. So I just hope you have a good day, and I hope your cat will continue feeling better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I hope you have a good day as well.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.